Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
It's going to be an adjustment period. Obviously, got a little bit of work throughout the OTAs, was in and out, but I am working hard to get on the same page with them. And three guys, again, that move really well, different body types for all three of them. They're each really good at some things, and we got to utilize those strengths to our benefit.
Josh Allen on his new receiving core, his revamped receiving core. Good morning. Happy Thursday, Jeremy and Joe here on WGR as we now know the dates of training camp to get started on Wednesday, July 23rd. Three practices right away, 23rd, 24th, 25th. And we'll see how that meshing works. Joining us on the Western Hotline is Kevin Cole of the Unexpected Points newsletter and podcast, previously with Pro Football Focus. Kevin, funny enough, like you, I saw you just dropped your rankings of numbers 36 through 31, and Joe and I had talked yesterday about your series, and we started speculating, like, where's Josh Allen going to rank? And sure enough, here we are. So that's why we reached out to you to talk about it. So thanks for joining us this morning.
Well, thanks for having me. Yeah, we need some rankings to do during the dead part of the season. So these historical rankings, I updated it from a couple of years ago, and I think it's good because it goes all the way back to 1947. So it tried to be very comprehensive for NFL, AFL, and even AACC history.
Wow. Were you burning through the tape of 1947 football for this?
Not burning through, but I did watch some YouTube videos. It's pretty fun, actually, to watch some of these old quarterbacks. I mean, for instance, one of the quarterbacks who's very close to the top is Otto Graham, who played way, way back in the day and has some pretty amazing stats. And it is fun to watch him as a dual threat quarterback, I guess you would call him, because he was a great rusher also.
He was the best then, so maybe he's different for this than some others. But does it look ridiculous to you, like how they were playing it? Or does it look like, okay, no, these are guys that can actually throw the football?
I think they can really throw the football. I mean, it depends. There are some maybe that don't quite look up in body physique-wise than others, but there are some guys who can really throw the football. I mean, for instance, one of the quarterbacks who I looked back at, and I mean, you can watch Sonny Jurgensen highlights pretty much and just be amazed by what you're seeing there. Again, physique is not great, but the way that the ball really just spun out of his hand. In fact, there's a clip of him that I shared on Twitter of a real behind-the-back pass that he did. I think it was during an exhibition game, but it wasn't like a cheeky sort of move. He really just had two defenders in his face, and the only way he could get it out to the running back was to throw it behind his back. So there are some really talented guys that when you go and look back at them.
Kevin Cole joining us. All right, Kevin, so take us through the series itself. Like, what made you start it a couple years back, and how you decided to kind of put it together when it comes to the QB GOAT series?
Yeah, I mean, I had somewhat of an inspiration by there's a gentleman who does a thinking basketball who Ben Taylor, who does these YouTube videos and other stuff. It's fantastic. His channel is blown up. But he had a series where he looked through NBA players for the greatest of all time and trying to, you know, look across eras. He does a lot of film work on his stuff, too. But I thought, you know what, let's try and do something similar with quarterback. We have a fantastic resource, at least that I'm pulling at least a lot of my stuff from, which is Pro Football Reference, which goes all the way back. And what you can really do with quarterbacks, and that's why it's something that I concentrate a lot on as a stats guy, is you do really have the numbers on it. So you can look at the quarterbacks, you can adjust for era, you can line them all up, and then try to get a comprehensive value score. And that was my objective there, by weighting their careers in the regular season, giving them an extra bump for their peak years, because I think elite play is really what it's all about in the NFL. So looking at the top five seasons, and then also overweighting their playoff games pretty heavily, and especially depending upon how often that they're getting into, you know, the conference championships and all the way to the Super Bowl.
So this year's series, Josh Allen we see for the first time, and It's a pretty good number for a guy that's, you know, still middle of his career, still in the prime. I guess the question I would ask is, how much did an MVP season move him up?
Oh, it's a ton. I mean, for instance, if you have my peak score, which is on their top five seasons, so Allen basically has the seven seasons now. He wasn't great by the numbers his first couple of seasons. So when you layer on a couple of MVP level or MVP adjacent, maybe last year, in 2023 level seasons into the mix, it's a huge boost. And plus, at this point in their careers, you know, you can jump into there pretty quickly because you have those five peak seasons. But once you've kind of established those five peak seasons, then it's a little bit more of a grind to move further and further up. So the fact that Allen really hit that threshold of having those strong seasons, those at least five strong seasons, moves him quite a bit up the rankings. And, you know, maybe we'll talk about it a little bit too, but Lamar Jackson is just a little bit behind him in the rankings. And he's another guy who had a huge jump with a couple of big seasons over the last 2 years.
Yeah, so he has an extra MVP award. So them being so close together, only two spots different. I guess with Jackson having the extra MVP, why for you is it that Allen's making up the gap, I guess, somewhere else?
Yeah, he is. And again, this is one of these things where I try to adjust the methodology that I have here, but it's really just a quantitative methodology of looking at their passing efficiency. And I use something called adjusted net yards per attempt so I can go all the way back, which has bonuses for interceptions and for touchdowns. And then it's just looking at yards per attempt. It weighs their volume, and then it also looks at their rushing and how the rushing efficiency with discounts for fumbles. So it's really a formulaic sort of thing. Now, the difference between these two is that's it. Because if you just look at regular season value, Jackson's a bit above Allen, somewhat because of those first two seasons. Allen had a couple of down seasons, whereas Jackson had a very limited rookie season, which was a little bit off, but he never really had a down season. He has a little bit more peak because he has had those couple of MVP seasons, and then last year was, you know, his best season by my numbers when you include the playoffs into that. But for the playoffs for Jackson were a major, major negative before these last two seasons, where he's turned things around a bit. But still, he's about flat value for him in the playoffs, whereas Allen has actually been really excellent in the playoffs. He's just, you know, run into Patrick Mahomes a few too many times.
The QB GOAT series from Kevin Cole, Unexpected Points newsletter and podcast. You know, Kevin, as you tease this, you know, we've got the GOAT series in terms of historical, how good they are historically. You're right up on this. Refers to these two as the two best quarterbacks over the last couple of years, which has been a little bit of a talking point in the NFL circles. Like Mahomes, I don't think anybody would doubt what he's done over the course of his career. But have you seen statistically in your numbers as you're watching him these last couple of years, a different quarterback in Patrick Mahomes than at the start of his career?
Yeah, I mean, I think statistically it is a different quarterback. There's no doubt about that. But that's you know, almost more a function of the fact that he was on the greatest start by any quarterback in NFL history. That was kind of undisputed, in my opinion, for how good he had been consistently up until these last two seasons. Now, going through this exercise, though, no matter who we're looking at, whether it's even you know, Peyton Manning or Tom Brady or Joe Montana, Dan Marino, you know, some of these top quarterbacks of all time, you notice lulls in their career, which they do then come back. So because we're talking about two seasons and maybe not a five season lull or something like that, if I had to still place my money on, just from a purely statistical perspective, how I look at it, just kind of like passing efficiency or overall EPA, if you want to use the more advanced stats, you know, I still lean towards Patrick Mahomes as probably being the guy that I would predict is going to be the best over the next, let's say, 3, 4, 5 years. But it's gotten a lot closer than what my prediction would have been a couple of years ago.
With Allen moving up with that MVP, I guess he's not even 30 yet, and he's already this high in your ranking. How far do you feel like it's realistic to expect him going? Like, if you were to put this list together in 10 years and Allen, you know, meets expectations, you know, to what everyone thinks he should do, like at least wins one Super Bowl, maybe there's another MVP or two in there, but he's not, you know, he's not going to do what Mahomes has done or Brady, where he's going to rattle off like three or four. How far do you feel like he'll end up being once his, you know, if he's to meet the expectation of what a lot of people have for him?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if he basically replicates what he's done these last five seasons again, so just in five more seasons. Now, again, it's a very high bar for what he's done these last 5 years, so I don't think that's even the baseline case, no matter how good you think Josh Allen is. Normally, there are some lulls to his career, but let's just as a hypothetical, let's say he does that. I mean, we're talking about approaching the top 15 already at that point. So if he were to have another 10 years of really, really outstanding performance, he could probably even get all the way into the top 10. The thing is about these rankings, and this is kind of like the good old normal distribution of performance, is that once you get near the tips, you know, it really starts spreading out. So the differences between number one and number two in these rankings and number 10 is a lot bigger than the difference between number 10 and number 20. So, you know, getting close to that top 10 sort of range is definitely something he can do. Now, once you start to talk about the top five or further, we're talking about, you know, at least 10 years of this really high level performance.
Kevin Cole joining us on the Western Hotline. Kevin, one final thing, like, as you do this, is there a name, is there a quarterback that kind of just surprises you? You know, you kind of, you build it out and then you run the numbers and you kind of put it all together. And I guess a different way to ask it is, what quarterback would you kind of go to war for about, this guy was underappreciated through his career?
Well, I mean, I guess the one who jumps out, and people can decide if they want to go to war for him or not, but I'll just go by the numbers here. I mean, Ken Anderson, so former Bengals quarterback Ken Anderson is the one who jumps out. From at least from a statistical performance perspective, he's by far the highest, getting into the top 15 as someone who is not in the Hall of Fame, is, you know, not going to be, you know, necessarily someone who really is seen as being someone on that sort of honors. He doesn't have the titles, doesn't have great performance in the playoffs, but his numbers are absolutely outstanding when it comes outside of the playoffs. And maybe a more modern, I guess he's somewhat on the modern side, but I would say someone who's a more recent contemporary is Philip Rivers, is probably a guy that really does not have that playoff performance, but just really, really consistently great play and just happened to play in the same era as Peyton Manning and Tom Brady and Drew Brees and, you know, Aaron Rodgers and all these other guys. So maybe gets lost a little bit in the mix and people probably don't see him, but he would be, you know, he's like head and shoulders and torso above someone like Eli Manning, who may end up making the Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
Probably will. Who, what about on the flip end of that? Cause I know Burrow was very low in your list. I mean, he's on the list, but I think I counted like 10, 11 active quarterbacks ahead of him. What would be your best explanation for Burrow, who's made a Super Bowl, being lower than some other guys who haven't?
Well, I mean, you just have the five seasons for Burrow, so he's lacking a bit in the peak play because he's had some injury-riddled season. So that'll boost up a lot once he gets in there and he gets some more like healthy full seasons into the mix. Hmm. And maybe where he differs from public perception, I would say in the playoffs. I mean, I have his numbers in the playoffs as being fairly mediocre, almost like a wash, where they've won some games in some of the playoff runs where it wasn't really about his play as much as it was about the defense's play. And he's also had some really poor games in the playoffs where the team has been able to advance in some of those playoff runs. So I think that's where the real difference is. And, you know, what I'll say about him, though, is I think he had a legitimately great year last year, whereas maybe in prior years is a little bit more up and down and he got a little bit too much hype for those years. I think he did turn around this last season. So after a couple of more years, you're going to see him really accelerate up.
Kevin Cole, unexpectedpoints.com for the podcast and the newsletter. Kevin, thanks very much. We'll be watching all the way the countdown, the top 30 now.
All right, thanks for having me.
All right, Kevin Cole, formerly PFF, now unexpectedpoints.com newsletter and podcast. A lot of quarterback stuff, advanced game reviews,
yeah,
draft coverage. As he was going through something, I've got, you want to do a quick little trivia question here?
Sure.
You can each have a guess.
Okay.
He mentioned adjusted net yards per attempt.
Yes.
Which takes into account sacks, interceptions.
I think runs on pass plays too, maybe. Maybe not. I don't know. But definitely, it's definitely sacks.
It can't take runs because that's not a pass attempt.
On plays that were okay, there's a different number that includes runs on called pass plays, but that must not be this.
Okay.
That must not be this.
So in the adjusted net yards per attempt, I've got this for NFL history.
Okay.
I have the top, well, I've got the top like 200 single seasons ever.
Uh-huh.
One quarterback is in the top 10 twice. adjusted net yards per attempt. One NFL quarterback, all time, is in the top 10 twice. You can each have a guess. And I'll tell you who it is.
I'm going to guess that it's Aaron Rodgers.
Okay. He guesses Aaron Rodgers.
I was going to go Brett Favre.
Okay.
I was also going to say Rodgers, but I can't think
of another one.
You can say Rodgers.
I'll also go with Rodgers.
Rodgers is correct.
Rodgers?
Yep. He's the only one to have two top tens. If you go to 11 and 12, then Peyton Manning and Tom Brady both get it. But if you go to 13, you get to Rodgers three times.
Wow.
Yeah. So it is – if anybody asking how – you know, has he damaged his legacy? The answer is definitely yes. Definitely. He was
– Oh, yeah.
It doesn't change what he actually did. But what is a legacy? A legacy is what people remember.
Right.
And if you throw on stuff at the end that's distracting from the stuff you did at the beginning,
sure,
you have not undone it, but you have definitely distracted from it. So
I remember arguing with buddies about him. Like, I think he's the most talented quarterback I've ever seen. I don't care how many rings Tom Brady has. If he was in New England, he'd win 10.
Yeah.
But he had the one, and then, I don't even think about him in that way anymore. It still might be true that he's the most talented quarterback I've ever seen in my life. Maybe, you know, Allen and Mahomes and Jackson will put that to the test. But there was a time where I thought that, and I haven't thought about it in years because what do I think of when he comes up? I think of him, you know, having press conferences about being mad in Green Bay and, you know, all the Jets stuff and taking trips to do drugs in Egypt and Pat McAfee show and he's wearing a wedding ring, but is he actually married? Just like everything is just the other stuff now with him.
Can I tell you that I just yesterday, this is one of those, I'm sorry to admit I read this article, but I don't know, it's June. I read an article from, I think it was Yahoo, that was wondering if he actually is married.
Yeah,
There's speculation. Is he really married?
Right.
He's not legally registered anywhere. There's no sort of paperwork. I mean, his family doesn't know anything about it. Not that his family would know. But that's the that's the reality that he has kind of created, is that people don't trust what he says. So he wears a ring and says, "I'm married," and we're like, do you think he is?
But the way he has acted, or, you know, the way he has conducted himself in recent years, it doesn't really feel like it's that far past him to wear a wedding ring and then not actually be married, I think. Right? It's a little bit of the, like, see, how did he talk about it in this press conference? The immunized versus vaccinated thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where he said immunized because he knew everybody would...
He said inoculated.
Or inoculated. Because he knew everybody would take that to mean the other thing. And this would be like kind of the same thing. Like,
right.
Oh, I don't know that he said I'm married, though.
I think he did.
Did he did he actually confirm that? Like,
to the inoculation
I thought he
point,
said something weird about how he answered the question, but maybe not.
Yeah. He wore a ring.
But this is his legacy now. His legacy is all this stuff. Yes, all the other stuff.
That's right.
And it could have just been, you're one of the best quarterbacks of all time. Maybe. Like one of the five best quarterbacks of all time. Again, I think most talented ever. He should have more than one Super Bowl, but he's got the one, so that's fine.
Well, maybe he can do some repairing this year with Mike Tomlin.
With what?
It could happen.
It's not going to happen.
Not ruling it out.
Not going to happen. I saw Dan Orlovsky today say he thinks they could win up to 12 games. And like, get out. No chance. Not in that division, especially.
That'll depend on how good the Bengals are. That's what I would say. How good are the Bengals about to be? The Steelers, I mean, of course, they open with the Jets. They open Jets, Seahawks, Patriots, Vikings, Browns, Bengals. You know, Colts are in there.
Yeah.
If the Bengals are not very good, the Steelers could win 12 games. They have some tough schedule.
By the way,
tough games along the way.
He is not the all-time leader, I guess, in adjusted yards per attempt, despite the fact that he's on that
adjusted
list twice.
Adjusted net yards per attempt.
Ah, there we go. Because adjusted yards per attempt, he is second to Brock Purdy, who is number one all-time.
Purdy, the top 10 adjusted net yards per attempt seasons that I just had up for you a minute ago, like Purdy was on the list.
Purdy was.
So was Nick Foles.
Purdy was higher than Burrow was in Kevin Cole's GOAT series.
Yeah.
Now, he also did make it to a Super Bowl. Okay, because I've got, let's see, net yards per attempt, I've got Purdy still above Rodgers. But maybe this is like, maybe there's a certain minimum that I should be setting for Purdy, because he only has 1,000 attempts and Rodgers has 5,000 attempts.
I went to single season. What I just did was single season.
Right, right. I'm saying like totals over their career, it goes Purdy, Otto Graham, Mahomes, Jackson, and then Rodgers. That's your top five all time.
803-0550, 1-888-550-2550 to join us. So training camp is on the way. July 23rd, we start training camp. NHL offseason is upon us.
Are we not going to get joint practices for the Bills this year? Because the Giants, I think there was a thought maybe it could be them, and they've scheduled joint practices with somebody else.
Wasn't there a report on the Bills and the Bears?
The Bills and the Bears for this?
Yes.
I don't remember seeing that, but maybe.
Yeah, 16 hours ago.
Yeah, okay, there you go.
Bills-Bears joint practice.
Okay. August 15th?
Yep.
In Chicago. Because they'll play preseason in Chicago?
Road practices.
Yeah.
That's what they did last year in Pittsburgh, and then Allen didn't play the game because they had the joint practice, and it rained, and they thought, like, that's fine.
He was supposed to play, right? And then it...
How many snaps did Allen play in the preseason? I got to know this, because now that he has won the MVP...
How many will he?
How many did he last year?
Did he?
Because he didn't play in Pittsburgh.
It was... Wait, last year was the year that he didn't play because it rained? There was another Pittsburgh game where they played too much because they had played poorly in the previous preseason game.
That's right.
But that was maybe 2 years ago?
Yeah, so last year they had three preseason games. They opened up with the Bears.
Okay.
And Allen that day was... I got to find this out. I just got to know. Allen was 2 for 3 for 22 yards.
Okay.
Against the Bears. Then they play against the Steelers. And Allen did not play.
Okay.
And then they finished out with the Panthers.
He didn't play that game.
Allen did not play. Who did for the Bills?
They brought a guy in.
Two guys.
Ben DiNucci.
And?
The founder of the Upside Down Hat Movement, Ben DiNucci. And, who is it? It was a Ravens backup. Anthony Brown?
Correct.
Don't test me on I know my preseason Bills.
Apparently you do. So do I have everyone's permission to say Josh Allen should throw a maximum of 3 passes this preseason? Every year we kind of did this whole, like, is it important? Is it not important? He threw 3 passes in an entire preseason and won the MVP. Are we all allowed to line up and say one series? 2 for 3 for 22 yards. One series. I'll pull up the play-by-play. It might have been one drive.
I mean, I really want it to be 0, but
sure.
If I have to have him appear, then sure. One series in 3 games.
I also want it to be 0. By the way, the Bills lost to the Bears that day at home 33-6.
Ooh.
How'd their seasons go?
Right. Look at the Bears.
Allen was – I got to find this out right now. The Bears opened the field goal. The Bills, Allen goes 2 for 3 for 22 yards. It was a pass on – he got 2 series.
2 series?
He got 1 pass to Shakir, and then a short pass to Curtis Samuel, and another incomplete pass to Dawson Knox. So he played 2 series. He did not make it out of the first quarter.
Okay.
He was done before the quarter ended.
It was the – do you remember this, though? The year before, he played like a whole half against Pittsburgh. They had appeared in a preseason game and it went poorly and they wanted them to play more. Maybe it was almost even a punishment.
He did play the full first quarter. 2 for 3, 22 yards because he ran once for 7 yards.
Don't do that.
And then the quarter ended and then Trubisky went in. So Allen's preseason last year was 1 quarter, 1 game.
Listen, they need less time for him in the preseason because they need all the time in the world for this backup quarterback competition.
Mike White and Trubisky?
That we got coming. Yeah.
803-0550, 1-888-550-2550 to join us. Jeremy and Joe, you can give us a ring. It's a Thursday. It's going to be windy out there. Some pop-up storms throughout the weekend. Temp's going to go into the 90s, by the way, next week.
Ooh. NBA Finals tonight, by the way. Series can end tonight.
Halliburton might not play.
I...
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
There, I guess there's a good debate about what they should do there, and it's basically just a question of, is the coach strong enough to tell him you're not playing?
At home.
At home.
In a season-ending
game.
He's
your star. He's doing everything he can to play. If you're the coach and you think, their backup point guard, McConnell, is really good. If he thinks McConnell gives me a better chance, I wonder if he wouldn't play him anyway. Or if he would play him anyway, because the guy got you there. The guy got you there. What are his teammates going to think of that, right? If you don't let him play, like I feel like you're in a tough spot as a coach if you think this guy's not healthy enough to make a big enough difference for me, but he's our dude and he's doing everything he can to play. I gotta play him. Yeah. I don't know what you would do.
803-0550. When we return. Anyone else noticing that the 90s Bills are getting a lot of run the last 24, 48 hours, including a mention from one iconic Buffalo athlete? We'll get to that as Edmonton's second consecutive loss has conjured up comparisons. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.
Yeah, experience is good. I don't know how much experience is, you know, beneficial. You can ask the Buffalo Bills how important Super Bowl experience is, but I think the biggest thing is just having confidence to play. And you know, when our guys are playing their best, they should have a lot of confidence.
Chris Knobloch, head coach of the Oilers last year, he said that before their first final, saying like, experience doesn't matter, look at the Bills, they had experience and they lost. Well, now he's lost too, which I think makes his point still correct. Like,
mm-hmm.
Now we have experience. We lost it without. We lost it with experience. So he kind of, you know, brought up the Bills.
Mm-hmm.
Ryan Miller tweeted about the Bills. That Ryan Miller?
Future Sabres GM Ryan Miller.
I was going to say, let me tweet back at him. Do you want the Sabres GM job? He responded to Ryan Whitney of Spit and Chicklets, was talking about like the pain of losing back-to-back for Edmonton,
mm-hmm.
and he played for the Oilers. Oilers, basically, like he lives and dies Oilers, right? So,
mm-hmm.
all right, he's talking about the Bills and the 90s Bills, which, by the way, today's also the anniversary of No Goal, if you want that.
Yes, it is. No Goal.
Could I offer up...
26 years.
This is the kind of thing that lifelong Buffalo fans have to answer this question, because I can't, because I am... Not a lifelong Buffalo fan. I was not rooting for the Bills during the 90s. You're not old enough.
Nope.
Okay, so question for 90s Bills fans and anybody that's been through it. Because I know we want them to win a Super Bowl, and they might this year. That'd be pretty great. Whenever I see these miserable sports cities indexes, which this is the time of year, right?
Yeah.
A month before training camp, you're going to get every list you can. And I see Buffalo as like the third most miserable fan base. I think, no, we're not.
Mm-hmm.
Not at all right now. And I know we're, you know, the Sabres are there. But
sure. Like for them, you know.
Is anyone else?
Number one.
I guess I can't even say is anyone else. Because again, I don't have the context of the 90s losses there. But you're someone that's lived through it. If you're in the chat, if you want to call us, whatever. Does anybody feel a little less of it now because life is good? Life is good.
Mm-hmm.
The Bills are good. Life is good. It doesn't undo it. You'd love to have a Super Bowl. You want to win one. Maybe winning one kind of removes the Bills from having their identity be when a team loses back-to-back championships. It's, you're on your way to being the Bills. Halfway to being the Bills. Am I nuts? I just feel like even if I had gone through that, I do not consider this a miserable sports city really at all. We're mad at the Sabres.
Yep.
With good reason.
Yep.
But past that, I do not think this place is a miserable sports town of people that say, woe is me. I know that there are some.
No, I mean,
but life is so good right now if you're a Bills fan.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think you get as much, obviously, as you used to of an assumption that everything is going to go wrong, right? Like, there's more of a belief, I think, in what they're doing now and Allen that is the belief enough that people still believe they're going to win it someday? Like, a confidence that one of these years he's going to get the job done for them? Because, like, what the Bills more so were during the drought was, you know, oh, they're 3-0. You watch. 3-0, but yeah. You just wait. They're the Bills.
Everything was fake.
Everything was fake. Everything's going to go wrong because that's just how it goes. That's Buffalo. It's Billsy, right? I think they've shed that. Maybe there are still people out there that just don't really call us or tweet at us like this that are just expecting, like, oh, yeah, all this is just to lose the Chiefs again.
Yeah, but even
like,
that isn't
that
just...
I don't hear that guy as much as I did, nearly as much as I used to. That's so, like, I feel like the fan base is pretty optimistic and pretty positive on the football side.
Doesn't that guy have 1 week out of 52 a year where he can pop off?
Right.
The rest of the time, and maybe it's like a month because you got to get over these AFC Championship game losses and divisional round losses. So maybe it's a month.
Mm-hmm.
But then you get to the offseason and it's just like, all right, well, restock and reload and go with Josh Allen. Like, this is your life.
Right.
And it's not about, oh, man, here we go. Here comes the season. It's going to be, again, the hockey team's there. But
right.
But a lot of towns
but
have.
It doesn't overvalue. It doesn't over you compensate for how good the Bills make people feel,
well,
I think.
That's just a normal life. A normal sports city life. Like, name a city.
Miami.
Miami. How's Miami's sports life? The Dolphins are competitive.
Oh, wait, are we counting the Panthers, though?
The Panthers won. No,
right.
But this is part of my point. Normal sports existence is some of your teams are good and some of your teams aren't.
Right.
That's normal.
Right. Like if you're a Panthers and a Dolphins fan, I know the Dolphins aren't maybe as bad as the Sabres are, but you're in love with your hockey team right now and you probably hate your football team or you're mad at your football
team.
Maybe
they make the playoffs.
That's why, I mean, it's at least better than the Sabres, but you got to be mad at them.
Sure.
I mean,
let's go to Cleveland. How's Cleveland?
Oh,
well,
furious.
The Browns are a mess. The Cavs had an amazing season.
Right.
It's normal to have some ups and downs. We did have concurrent droughts with the Sabres and Bills where nobody was good or nobody. And to me, that was a time to be kind of miserable. And the Bills broke out of it, and we've been fine since. You have one good team and one bad team. I feel like that's most of sports life. How about Detroit? Wow, look at the Lions are good. How are the Tigers? How are the Red Wings?
And that took a minute. Detroit maybe, like you just mentioned, that overlap with the Bills and Sabres droughts. Detroit, I think, had like a 5-6 year period there where everyone was terrible. But no, right? Like, now the Lions are great. The Pistons are even good, and like the Red Wings kind of are average, and the Tigers are bad.
Yeah.
So like you have a couple of teams that aren't that good and a couple of teams that are great. Like really. Other than I mentioned, Detroit had that for a couple years. Is there even a sports city where right now everything is terrible? Everything is terrible.
I would submit one. Yes, but they don't know it yet because they're holding on for dear life.
Pittsburgh?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because the Pirates are a disaster.
The
Steelers are the posters of a cat holding onto a branch.
Yeah.
And
the Penguins are.
The Penguins are
over.
Senior citizens.
Yes.
All due respect. As I get older, approaching 50. All right, we'll get some calls on this.
Yeah, Pittsburgh's a good
Pittsburgh
one.
Pittsburgh
is tough.
Is knocking on the door.
Yeah, they're in store, I think, for maybe a tough couple years.
Jordan in Wilmington. Hey, Jordan, good morning.
Hey, guys. Yeah, I agree. I definitely think it's the Bills' time where we're looking for things to find wrong, like the Cook situation or Dalton Kincaid's thigh. Little meaningless things that no one cares about. That we want to build up hype because we used to have Stephon Diggs and we used to have all this drama. Now we don't have nothing. It's like now Cook's coming back. We're like, oh crap, we just have Josh Allen. We got the best quarterback. So it's like now hopefully this means there's going to be an upward trend for the Sabres. And I don't know. I checked out of the Sabres a couple of years ago, and I mean I'm always checking back in the beginning of the season. This year I was out quarter of the season in, and I'm always refreshed, but. I'll hang up and listen.
Yeah. Thanks, Jordan. Yeah. Our big fights about the Bills, what are they really? It's should they pay the awesome running back or will they be awesome without him?
They're kind of niche debates.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
More than like when people would go to war over what quarterback they wanted or whether the coach should be fired. Although we still have a little bit of that, but it was much more.
But
on a daily basis. By the way, apologies to the Detroit Tigers who are in first place in their division.
But the point about the fights, like it used to be, the GM would say so and so's the coach, and if you don't like it, you can get out of town. And the famous fight that the GM and we had on the radio station was about the value of drafting wide receivers a little bit earlier. That was the big fight.
Right.
It was like, what was it really about?
Wanted a third-round receiver.
Admit it. Right. We were arguing about a fourth-round pick, right, whether or not, you know, from a salary cap standpoint, it would be more optimal. The point is, the arguments mid-season are like, what? And to that point, we kind of just get to have a good time September through January, knowing that they're probably going to make the playoffs. And then the stress arrives. The stress arrives for last year. When did the stress show up? Baltimore. Denver's a first-round playoff matchup. It should be okay here, and they womp Denver.
Yep.
And then Baltimore, it got real. The season didn't get real in terms of what you could lose until the divisional round.
Yeah, that's right. You know, a sign of that confidence and that optimism? I think you could actually look at that Denver game. That Denver game, they scored on their first drive a long touchdown to Troy Franklin. Were you nervous?
A little bit, because they never get beat over the top.
Tiny bit.
Over the top again.
Okay. The Bills in the, let's see, 3 minutes left. 3 minutes left in the third quarter. The Bills have fourth down and one. There's 3 minutes left in the third quarter. Fourth and one with the ball, 13-7 is the lead. That's it.
Denver?
No, Bills. The Bills are up 6.
No, against Denver.
Against Denver, yes.
Yeah.
You're almost at the end of the third quarter. You're only up 6 points. Did anybody in the world have any anxiety?
I don't even remember it.
You were a play away. You were a miracle touchdown to Ty Johnson away that Allen made. It's still one of the most incredible plays of the year.
Yeah.
You're his foot being an inch further back on the back of the end zone.
From Broncos having
turnover on downs. Broncos have the ball with 1 quarter to play, down 6. Nobody in the stadium was nervous at all. I don't think. Maybe there were a couple out there. I had zero anxiety about that game.
Yeah.
So, but what is that? That's a playoff game. That's a good team. Just like, no, we're good. We're good here. I mean, back to the original part about the miserable point, like I just don't feel that on one side of it. And I think you kind of got to have both to some degree to label the whole city as being one of the most miserable in the U.S.
The Oilers get a second loss, and the Bills and Buffalo kind of catching strays. It is also, if you want this for you, like, why are the Bills thought of as one of America's teams? Like, people will root for the Bills if they get far. Why? There's no doubt the way they play, they like Josh Allen. There's no doubt that 4 Super Bowls is one of the reasons. There's no doubt about it at all. I'd like to see a place that got their heart broken a bunch of times get over. Right?
Yep.
So maybe it's tough to think about living through those, but I just don't think it's day-to-day life around here that, you know, people are miserable. Happy anniversary, no goal. anybody who was in the building want to call?
I mean, with the hockey team, it's up, so they're number one. Right? Like, if you go team by team, like, a Sabre fan has his right to be as miserable as any fan in the entire sports universe right now.
That's probably right. 803-0550 on WGR. You know, I got to be honest. I thought I'd get a comment on my shirt today. What do you think? Who's this look like?
Oh, it's like the collar, but it's not a collar.
It's a blade collared golf shirt.
Doesn't Tiger wear those?
He used to wear Tiger necks and maybe some blades. You know who wears blade collars now all the time?
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I feel like when I say it, you're going to say, oh, yeah, for sure.
Is it Jason Day?
It is Rory? Not. Nope. Adam Scott wears blade collars all the time.
Oh, yeah. He does.
Yeah, I pulled the old blade collar.
That's not tan, though. So.
No, that's right. It is a kind of muted tone. Anyway, those of you watching the feed, I thought that YouTube, I thought you were like, what's it with the collar? You know what it kind of looks like? Clergy. A little bit like the collar, just a little bit like a.
Yeah.
A little bit?
A little bit.
Mixing it up. You know,
I had one that was a tiger collar, but I don't know how he wore those.
The tiger neck?
Yeah, it's uncomfortable. He wore it. Didn't he wear it in his prime too?
Yeah, he wore a lot of those.
Yeah,
the blades.
Like in when it was on during the U.S. Open, the 08 U.S. Open where he hits the putt to force a playoff against Rocco. I think he's wearing it's a tiger collar.
Yeah, it's a collar, neck, sure, whatever. But it's a mock turtleneck. There's a lot of different. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know all the terminology, but yeah, it was a fashion vibe for him for a long time. Meanwhile, Adam Schefter is going to be doing course reporting at the Travelers Championship, which starts today.
He's tracking Rory and Keegan Bradley. Okay.
Yep.
Just because he wants to do something else, doesn't he want to go on vacation?
You know, you would think
this is like your month off if you cover football, and he wants on his vacation to work more.
Well, it's not
although
a,
work,
it's,
I mean, he's what? He's following
a golfer.
Rory around.
Yeah, right.
That seems like a pretty good
deal. Did you have Rory wins the Masters and then becomes a miserable person on your bingo card?
I don't know what's going on. What's going on?
He's miserable all the time now. He's mad at everybody.
I mean, he's accomplished his goal, so now he's got nothing.
Now he's mad.
He feels like he's got nothing, I guess.
It's weird.
I don't know. He needs a new goal. What should his new goal be?
Be nice. Relax.
Set your standards. You know, go. I'm gonna catch Tiger.
It should be.
He's nine away, but
yeah,
relax.
Relax a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Take it easy. 803-0550 is our phone number. We'll get some more calls in. Jeremy and Joe here on WGR.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.